Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, reminding you that if you'll keep listening, you'll hear how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day and how the Word of God can help us all experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or a pressing issue you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go right to our phone lines today and start with Michelle, who's listening to us in Brooklyn, New York today. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Pastor. My question is about the rapture. I'm a little confused. I was taught the rapture and in my church, and just reading things, I have just feeling I'm doubtful about the rapture itself. I mean, I know we're going to be with the Lord in the end, but the passage about being, one is left in the field, the other's taken up, will be those that are dead in Christ will rise first, and that will be taken up, you know, in a cloud with the Lord. And the language in Hebrew and the Greek, whether or not the word rapture is actually translated.
The word rapture is not in the Bible. It is a Latin translation. That's when the word rapture got into our language. So I think when they translated the Septuagint or the writings of the New Testament from Greek into Latin, in particularly a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when it talked about being caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Yes.
That word in Latin is rapturo. And so when we bring it over into our language, it becomes rapture. But this is the only passage in the scripture that those who really pound hard on the fact of a pre-tribulation rapture go to. This particular passage. And certainly there are statements in here that would lead you to believe that there might be a rapture as a separate event from the second coming of Christ Jesus. The fact that it's meeting him in the air, the fact that Christ, you know, when he returns the second time, will plant his feet firmly on the Mount of Olives, and the kingdom will be set up and moved out from there. So that's where a lot of this pre-trib rapture stuff comes from. Some of the language in this particular passage.
Theory that they're coming up with based on that word.
Well, Michelle, they truly believe that's the way it will be. I was raised believing that same thing. I taught many Bible studies and went to many Bible studies with pre-trib rapture belief. I taught it well. And then when you really read through this passage and compare it to like 1 Corinthians 15, it's not quite as clear as I first thought. But what is clear to me, Michelle, is this, that Jesus Christ is coming back. We can count on that. That is our hope. That is our desire for him to come back. Now, if he doesn't come back before we die, here's what's going to happen. We're going to go be with him. And when he comes back, we're going to be coming back with him. And those that still remain on earth before that time, we're all going to be united together as one, and we're all going to be with the Lord together. That's what we know for sure. Is there, another event called the rapture that's going to happen, before that second coming? Like I said, you can make a case for it, but I don't think you can be dogmatic about it.
I see.
Does that help?
Well, I'd like to believe it because I certainly don't want to be here during the Great Tribulation.
Yeah, there's the point.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I'll amen you on that,
like,
one, Michelle.
Lord, you know, I really hope that, you know, I'll be in your presence before that comes. But then I worry about, you know, family, loved ones that are much younger than I who remain here. And, you know, I hope that they will, you know, come to the Lord during that time. I mean, is the Holy Spirit going to be removed from the earth? I mean, how are believers going to come to believe? I mean, how will people come to believe in those latter days?
Well, Michelle, it's always the work of God's Spirit. I mean, salvation, he's the one that quickens, that brings us to life spiritually, renews us. So the Holy Spirit's always going to have that job of bringing people to life. So it's not that he's going to be taken out of here. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, if you look at if you say, okay, there are people that are going to be saved, God's going to have to have his hand in it. And he has worked throughout history through his Spirit in bringing people to salvation, to faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that job he'll just continue to do it. Richard, do you have any?
Yeah, the idea that the Holy Spirit's going to be taken away from the earth comes from that passage in Revelation where it talks about the angels, or angels, plural, who are holding back the winds. You know, somehow God's going to take it all away. Well, those winds have to do with judgment and strife and the earth falling apart. It's not about the Holy Spirit. And so I don't think we have to worry about that. God is going to do what God wants to do in order to reach as many people as he possibly can.
Amen. Amen. One other quick question about our families, our whole households being saved. I mean, I continue to pray for my loved ones, my family, unsaved loved ones. And, I mean, unless they come into confession and repentance, how is that going to occur? I mean, my household being saved.
Well, Michelle, that's exactly the way it's going to happen. The fact that you are a believer in that household and others there are not believers, those who are not believers, you've basically set them apart in the sense that they're seeing the gospel lived out daily in and through you. So they're being witnessed to just because you are a witness. Your very life is a witness to the grace of God. And God can use that to bring them to the Lord. But each person has to come to the Lord individually. It's not something where we can ride the coattails of another person. Each one of us have to come to faith in him. So the fact that you're there, trust God to use you, trust the Lord to use you in such a way that they can see the glory of God in the person of Christ Jesus. And just continue to pray that and just be who you are as a child of God.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Michelle. Well, you're so welcome, and we sure appreciate your call today. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. We would love to do that for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
You hang on.
And the same book, of course, available to anyone who'd like to make a gift to Basic Gospel at this particular time. All you need to do to get your copy is go online to basicgospel.net and make your gift and request your copy. Again, basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828. We'd love to get the book into your hands. 1-800-727-2828.
Well, let's go to New York and talk to Valsa. Is that correct?
Yes.
Welcome. How can we help you today?
Thank you, sir. I need a lot of help, you know. I've been married for several years, and I've been paying all the bills at home. I take care of the kids. You know, if anything breaks, if I cannot fix it myself, I call the handyman, I pay them. I bought the house, everything in the house, even a little spoon my husband didn't buy. He never comes home. He doesn't like to be home. I thought to make him happy, I kept quiet. You know, and now, you know, he makes good money, but, you know, he's involved with a woman who is married. A husband allows it because he gives them a lot of money, you know. You know, I told him to, my payments are going to stop soon. I'm on disability. And he doesn't care. He said, you know, if you want, go to court and file the papers, and you can get an alimony from me. I don't want to divorce. I want the Lord to work through this. I don't know what to do. I have no peace of mind. I'm trying to put everything together. I want to stay together. I could have got out 20 years ago because I used to make good money. Because I lived with this man, he has been a negative influence on me and the kids.
Well, Valsa, is he a believer in Christ?
No, he doesn't. Okay. He goes to the Indian Orthodox Church, and they are far away from Christ. I started going to a Pentecostal church. So we are Christians for 2,000 years. Thomas came to India and converted the people. But, you know, it's like the Greek Orthodox, and they are not believers. You know, he doesn't care. I'm going to the church today. I asked him to come to prayer with me. He won't come. So I don't know what to do. And I pray with him. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to read the Bible.
There's several options, Valsa. And the first option is this, is just simply continue, carrying on the way that you are. You do what you've been doing, and you allow him to keep doing what he's doing. With that option, it's not a marriage at all, just one on paper. But it doesn't upset the, turn over the apple cart, so to speak. It just kind of keeps the status quo. So that's option one. Listen, Valsa, I'm just going to go through the options. The other option is divorce. The fact that he's not a believer, you're a believer. He doesn't really want to be with you. You can say, as the scripture does, if he wants to leave, let him leave, and carry on that way. Just totally separate. Or the third option is to truly be reconciled. And I think that's where you, rest. That's what you want to see happen, is the fact that you can be reconciled and this can become a real marriage. Well, the only way that it's really going to become a marriage from God's vantage point is for your husband to come to Jesus Christ, to really, truly turn from his life of unbelief to a life of faith in the Lord. And once that happens, then the two of you are on the same page, and the two of you can grow together in this new relationship with Christ.
But he doesn't want to.
Well, then, like I said, with that, a relationship takes two, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you can say, okay, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want to truly be reconciled. He doesn't really want a marriage. But I'm a child of God. I know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is alive, living in me. I'm going to hang in there. And I am going to wait on the Lord in this situation. So there's that option. Or you can say, hey, it's too much for me. It is too overwhelming. I can't take it any longer. And then you say, well, it's time to separate.
No, I don't want to separate because, I don't have health or anything.
Well, then what you need to do, Valsa, is just recognize that you're in a tough situation that doesn't really have much hope for getting better just based on the circumstances now. But you have Jesus. So keep relying, keep trusting in Jesus and allowing him to work this situation together for good. It may take 6 months. It may take 2 years. It may take 20 more years. You don't know. But continue to rely upon Jesus Christ. And Valsa, you're a believer, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you know that you've been made alive in Christ. You've turned from that old life and have received new life in the Lord?
Yes.
Okay. So who's alive living in you?
Yeah, that's what gives me a lot of consolation,
Yeah.
I pray a lot, and then, the Lord gives me a lot of strength.
Well, just keep looking to him. Keep your eyes on Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews says. That's your hope. That's your assurance. That's where you're going to find love that you desperately need. That's where you're going to sense the very presence of God in your life. I mean, like I said, you're going through a tough situation, and there's not a lot of hope that it's going to get better from a worldly standpoint. But you have Jesus. So keep...
I don't have the money to go through a divorce. I don't have the strength. Yeah. I don't have the help. You know, he took all my money. And he's telling me, go to court and file for alimony. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Well, let me do this, Val. So let me put you on hold. We have some folks there in the New York area that I think might be able to help you through this situation. So let me put you on hold, get some information from you, and we'll try to make a connection there, okay?
Oh, thank you.
You hang on.
What are the strengths of the program, being able to reach out into various communities where we do have contact?
Yes, indeed.
And folks get help.
Yes, indeed. And have Angelo and Yvonne Gallego there in the New York area, and they've been a part of our ministry for many, many years, and just have hearts that want to reach out and encourage and help people through this, through these types of situations. We have Timothy Riles and his wonderful wife, Bobby, at the Beulah Baptist Church right there, I think in Harlem. But they have a wonderful ministry in the lives of many people there in the New York area. So we have folks that we can connect people with, and when opportunities like this present themselves, we want to try to make those connections.
Indeed.
Well, let's go out to Phoenix and talk with Phil, listening to us on KXXT. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Doing well.
Yeah, I've called many times before, and I learned. This basic gospel is habit forming. Very, very addicting.
Well, that's great.
Right. Yeah, it very, very much is. The question I got to ask you, Bob, is that I have a Catholic friend that father just passed away, but before he passed away, he was on his deathbed, and there was a priest that came in, and she said, I have to have my priest come in and give him the last rites, and she kind of like, I told her, well, we're all priests, we're a royal priesthood, and she kind of got really offended by that, and I try to, you know, I don't know, the Catholic Church believes in priests coming in there, and they look up to a priest for all their sins and all that. So I don't understand. I was trying to find a scripture on that, as far as telling her about that, because she's totally she got all flipped out about it, because she said, "Well, the Catholic Church is the only church. It's the only way to get to Jesus Christ." And I told her, "Well, no. We're all one body. We're all, you know, we're all the same in Christ Jesus."
Well, Phil, there are several passages in the New Testament that speak to the fact that we are a royal priesthood. The priesthood changed. It changed from Aaron and Moses and the whole Levitical line at the cross. Jesus became our high priest. And he was not out of that Levitical line. He was of the line of Judah. And nowhere in the Old Covenant did it ever speak of somebody from that line serving at the altar, doing the priestly duties. And yet Jesus stood in our place, became the Lamb of God that took away our sins, and was declared by an oath by God the Father himself that he was a priest forever. And so he's ushered in this new covenant. And all of those who come to Christ by faith are made partakers of this new covenant and take up a role as a royal priest in this new order of things that God has brought about in Jesus. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9 of that same chapter, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And he goes on to say that here's our role as a priest in this new people of God. We are there to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And then in the book of Revelation, John writes this, that you are worthy to take up the scrolls. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So we have a role within the body of Christ. It is a priestly role, and that role is to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and placed us into light. And as we go about doing that in this world today, we're going to see other people come to Christ by faith, and we're going to see them added to this great body of believers, and we're going to see them take up their role as priests in this kingdom. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it certainly, I think, gives us purpose here and now as we wait for this kingdom to be fully established when Christ returns.
But is there such thing as the last rites? I mean, I don't understand that part when they say last rites when someone dies.
Well, it's just basically, the priest going in and saying, we give you over to God. They certainly have, specific things that they say at that time. I'm called in often when somebody is on their deathbed. They want a prayer. They want, just some comfort. And it's just one of those roles that pastors and stuff play or serve for those who are dying, just to help bring comfort. It doesn't change a person's status. They're either believers or they're not. And if they've believed in Christ, when they take their last breath, they're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
So you can actually use oil because she said that they use oil on the people that are sick,
Yeah, and folks do that as if it's has healing power in it, or if it's magical. When it's talked of, oil kind of represents the Holy Spirit, and our real healing comes from him. And if we can just point people to Christ and his love and grace and mercy, we'll be doing our job in encouraging people along their journey. Well, Phil, great question today. Certainly appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Well, we're just about out of time, guys.
Well, I want to continue to thank our listeners for their response here in the first weeks of the month of September. Summer took a real dip for us. That's typical.
Absolutely.
But the month of August dipped a little lower than we anticipated. So we're asking our listeners to step up to the plate and help us at this particular time. And many listeners have already done so. To those, we say thank you. But we still need help. We still need folks to contribute to this wonderful work God is doing through this particular outreach. So join with us.
Sure. And to say thanks for doing that, we want to get a copy of Bart Millard and Andrew Parley's book into your hands. It's called The Hurt and the Healer, inspired by the number one Christian song by the same name. The Hurt and the Healer explores the truth about the painful issues in our lives and shows the way to true healing in Jesus Christ. And a copy can be yours for a gift of any amount to help support the ministry at Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator, Billy. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount, to Basic Gospel. When you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO. And while you're online at basicgospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. You'll get late news and information about the ministry and upcoming events. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. So until tomorrow, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the staff, Bob Davis, God bless you and goodbye from Dallas.